Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. As this long election season winds down, we're going to check the usual back and forth of politics at the door today and go back to basics. I'll be asking you what your core political beliefs are. What are the one or two fundamental ideas that motivate you in the political arena? And I'll operate on my belief that most political philosophies have powerful ideas. No one tradition has all the answers, and so I'll be asking you to reach across the aisle and tell me at least one foundational belief on the other side, as you understand it, that you may not subscribe to, but you can understand it as powerful and valid. And so the number to call is 1-800-826-1495. Love to hear from you, your brief elevator pitch, your core political philosophy, 1-800-826-1495. Or you can join us at upraxcess@gmail.com or on Twitter at #AccessUtah or on Facebook as well. We're going to be talking with several prominent Utah politicians and commentators, including LeVar Webb, Stephen Urquhart, Herm Olson, Lyle Hilliard, and Steve Erickson. And yesterday afternoon, we began this conversation with Frank Pignanelli and Howard Stevenson. We welcome in now Paul Merrill, president of Sutherland Institute. Mr. Merrill, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me.
So let me just jump in with some of these questions with you. I'm interested in you gave your elevator pitch, your one or two foundational beliefs or ideas that motivate you in the political arena.
Well, my political philosophy is conservatism, authentic conservatism, not to be confused with like entertainment conservatism through Rush Limbaugh or Glenn Beck or whatever, or even political conservatism through, say, the Republican Party or figures in the Republican Party. You know, authentic conservatism is not an ideology. You know, it's not a grand utopian scheme to change human nature or people. It's kind of seeing politics as the art of the possible. It's certainly principle-based, steeped in natural law traditions and prudence. You know, just very practical. So it's kind of a mixture of principles and prudence.
Are there any thinkers, authors, philosophers who have
of course
have informed you?
Yeah, so the tradition stems from Aristotle, kind of makes its way through Thomas Aquinas, a Catholic scholar. Politically, if you will, it starts to take form in modern times through Edmund Burke in England, and then really in America, the Founding Fathers, of course, but what you feel today in conservative thinking is really the result of kind of post-World War II conservative intellectuals like a guy named Russell Kirk. Bill Buckley probably is somebody that many people would know the name. So yeah, that's kind of the line of thinking. And again, it's differentiated, if I can kind of help this along, it's differentiated from, say, libertarianism. You know, libertarianism just focuses exclusively on individual liberty. Conservatism grasps the broader concept of a free society, of freedom, liberty being something that you or I choose to do or desire to do, freedom being kind of this broader concept of what it means to live in a free society, but also in community with others and how we balance those relationships.
And you've sort of been addressing this, but the next question is, are there misconceptions that maybe people have about the tradition that you subscribe to?
Yeah, certainly. I think if you tend to be more of an individualist, a libertarian, a utilitarian, you criticize conservatism because it sounds authoritarian. Because of its natural law roots, And, you know, the idea that there's some commensurability to life, in other words, that there's kind of this common human characteristic, this set of basic goods that humans, all humans have, and that we all live by and that we can reason towards, you know, and yet a lot of liberals would say that, for instance, they would view what I just said as saying, okay, so all you want to do is just impose your religion or something on me. Libertarians probably the same way on social issues, you know, but it's not that at all. It's just like, it's just saying, you know, there has to be, to live in a free society and community, you have to have some sense of commensurability. There has to be something we have in common that allows us to live in peace and to deal in prosperity. And liberalism, the ideology of liberalism, of course, has its own way of thinking, which you'll talk to other folks about, and libertarianism too. But conservatism just, you know, it says we can rely on reason. Our founding fathers relied on reason. They were people of faith for sure, but they knew that the difference between man and animal is our ability to reason, and that we could reason our way to truth, and then those truths then could guide ourselves in self-government, personal responsibility within a free society without causing chaos.
Finally,
pretty deep stuff, yeah, huh?
It is, and it's good. It's good to get back to basics. That's what we're trying to do. Get away from
that. That's what we try to do at Sutherland. Yes. You know, our job is to kind of take all these deep thoughts and if I can put it crudely, kind of put it on a bumper sticker so that the average Utahn can understand what freedom means.
Yeah. Yes, I think it is healthy to get back to those basics. Finally, Mr. Merrow, I'm asking everyone. I'll ask you to reach across the aisle, as it were. Tell me at least one foundational belief on the other side, or a belief that you do not subscribe to, but can understand as powerful and valid.
Okay. Well, I'll give you because conservatism really has to do with prudence, and again, it's not an ideology like liberalism or libertarianism. So I can reach across the aisle. An authentic conservative can do that. And one example would be on the liberal side would be a sense of community. We understand that freedom requires cooperation and communication, which is why all of us believe in the right of free speech, for instance, because communication and cooperation are so essential to human conduct. On the libertarian side, of course, the idea of individual liberty, personal choices, personal responsibility. So it's not that I disagree with any of that. It's just that it's all part and parcel of freedom. It's just that the others are so narrowly focused on these things that they forget the broader components that comprise freedom.
Very good. Our first guest here has been Paul Merrow, president of Sutherland Institute. Appreciate you taking the time.
Hey, Tom, it's been a pleasure to be on the air in Logan.
Thank you.
All righty.
And we have much more to come in this hour. We're getting back to basics. We're taking a break from the back and forth of politics. There's a lot of that, of course. By the way, we have the presidential debate, speaking of that, 7 o'clock this evening here on Utah Public Radio. But we're asking you, what are the one or two fundamental ideas or beliefs that motivate you in the political arena? And are there any thinkers, philosophers who have influenced you, books you could recommend? We're asking you also to reach across the aisle. Tell us a belief on the other side that perhaps you don't subscribe to, but you can understand is valid and powerful. The number to join us, we'd love to have your thoughts, 1-800-826-1495, 1-800-826-1495. You can join us by email as well, upraxis@gmail.com, upraxis@gmail.com, on Twitter at #AccessUtah, or on Facebook as well. Love to hear from you. Later in the program, we're going to be talking with Stephen Urquhart, State Senator Herm Olson, the Logan City Council, Lyle Hilliard, State Senator, Steve Erickson with Citizens Education Project, LeVar Webb, Deseret News columnist. That's all to come. And your call as well on Access Utah. Now we're talking with Herm Olson, who is a member of the Logan City Council. He is a member of the law firm Hilliard Anderson and Olson. And welcome to the program, first of all.
Thank you.
Appreciate you taking the time. As we are getting back to basics on the program today, we're asking you what your one or two core beliefs are. Get back to the basics, those political beliefs that that animate you, get you excited, and get you into the political arena.
Well, my political interest began, I guess, when I was a little boy, when my grandfather Olson from College Ward and grandfather Franson from High Creek were both Democrats, because of the Depression in the 30s, when they were, like so many millions of other people in the country, starving and dying through the Depression. And FDR introduced programs that attempted, with varying success, to keep them alive, keep the family farm going. And so a generation grew up appreciating the effort he made. And that is kind of the roots of why I became interested in politics. And then I recall watching with great interest in 1960 the race between Richard Nixon and John F. Kennedy, and was just captivated by the vision that John Kennedy presented to the country, and so those were real motivating factors. And I later worked in Washington, D.C., and got to meet Hubert Humphrey. And while I did not much like him in 1968 when he ran against Nixon for president, I became later just astonished at the decency of this guy. And he said something that kind of establishes the core of my view, and that is that as a people, as a society, we have an obligation to care for those in the dawn of life, the children, those in the sunset of life, the aged, and those in the shadow of life, the infirm, the disabled. And I subscribe to that. I guess I come into the political process with a fairly deep commitment, and hoping that it's a deep commitment to Christian principles that that my church embraces, and that is the dominant religion in Cache County in Utah. And I think we just have an obligation to reach out to those who can't help themselves. And so that's some of the core motivating factors in my world.
Are there, you've mentioned some political figures who had an influence on you. Are there any authors, books, thinkers that have influenced you?
Oh, one of my all-time favorite books is To Kill a Mockingbird, followed by one of my all-time favorite shows, To Kill a Mockingbird. And I think that the core notions underlying that book, Atticus Finch and his defense of Jim Robinson as an accused black man, really speak to the issues of fairness and sometimes the absence of fairness in American society. And those are pretty crucial components in our world. I remember a statement by Thomas Jefferson, who said that, and this was in 1788, mind you, he said, there are only two political parties in the world. There have only ever been two political parties, those who trust the people and those who distrust the people and want to leave the governing to the aristocracy. And I've always kind of then edged over to the side of those who trust the people, commit to them the authority to govern themselves. And, it's worked pretty well for us as a country.
Another question I'm asking everyone today is sort of to reach across the aisle. Is there a, what you could call a core political belief, maybe on the other side, a belief that you do not subscribe to, but you can understand that it's powerful and valid?
Well, that's a fair question, and I guess I would only modify the answer to this extent. One of the core political beliefs of the dominant party in Utah, at least, is sort of this sense that, you know, the government is the bad guy, and it's our job to thwart and intervene and keep the government from playing any larger role in our lives than it might already play. But I think there's a fundamental flaw in the notion, in that Teddy Roosevelt said in 1902, 110 years ago, that, and I'm quoting now, the government is us. We are the government, you and I. And so, I don't necessarily believe that the government is the bad guy. It's a bunch of people doing their very best to make this system work in a very complex world. And so I don't view it with quite the cynicism or horror that I think some of my neighbors do who subscribe to that view. So, saying that, I do think that we need to make sure that government doesn't become such a presence in our life that it gobbles our world. And I think there is sometimes risk of that occurring, and especially when it comes to the military and surveillance and the power of the state, which is indeed tremendous.
We've reached the end of our time. Herm Olson, who's a member of the Logan City Council, a partner in the law firm Hilliard Anderson Olson. Herm Olson, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
We're continuing this conversation, of course, throughout the hour, and we're asking you, what are the one or two ideas, beliefs that motivate you in the political arena? And to reach across the aisle and check the validity of an idea perhaps you do not subscribe to, but can understand from the other side. We're taking a break from the back and forth of politics and getting back to basics on the program today. The number is 1-800-826-1495, 1-800-826-1495. We'd love to hear from you, or email at upraxis@gmail.com, upraxis@gmail.com. We're going to take a brief break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Deseret News columnist LeVar Webb.
Utah Public Radio now makes it even easier to stay up to date with News at Noon on Twitter. This is April Ashland, UPR's social media coordinator, inviting you to follow and join the conversation about politics, local, and statewide events by going to twitter.com/UtahPublicRadio.
You're listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're checking our partisan politics at the door today, getting back to basics, and we're asking you what your core political beliefs are, what gets you excited in the political arena. And it's exciting for me to listen to people on both sides of the aisle, all political traditions, and to find that my belief is validated. There are exciting and powerful ideas in all political traditions. We're joined now by LeVar Webb, Deseret News columnist, publisher of UtahPolicy.com, and founder of the Exoro Group. Mr. Webb, welcome back to the program.
Good to be here.
Let me just jump in here. Maybe give me your elevator pitch, one or two foundational political ideas that motivate you.
Well, when we speak of political ideology, I view myself as, I describe myself as a mainstream Republican or mainstream conservative. I'm certainly not anti-government. I do think that government plays a really important role in our lives and in society, and can be a very positive factor there. I do think that it's important that we have foundational ideological beliefs, that we're just not all over the place. And so when I think about that, I go back to what is the essence of government, and I think the essence of government is that we've decided as a society many, many, many decades, centuries ago, that there are some things that we can do better together than we can do individually. And when we do things together, it does end up requiring rules and regulations and leadership. And over the centuries, those things have evolved into government. In our form of government, there are two foundational things that I believe are really important. The first is that as we have human rights that don't come from government, that come from God. So they are, and our Constitution states that we have inherent human rights that, again, don't come from government, that come from God. And then secondly, in our form of government, we, the people, created that government. So we don't belong to the government. The government belongs to us. And those are two very foundational, important things, I think, on which to build an ideology.
Are there any thinkers, books that have been influential for you?
Well, as I think of authors, as I grew up in my more formative years, I developed my, again, mainstream conservative philosophy reading William Buckley and William Rusher and Frederic Bastiat, just to think of a couple there. And I think that what becomes important in, I think, in conservative philosophy is that we remember that government has an important distinction, has an important power that no other institution in society has, and that is the power of force and coercion. Government can throw us in jail. Government can take our taxes. And so this power of force and coercion is inherently bad if it is exercised properly, but we do need to place limits on that power, and we do so with constitutional government, with the fact that we, the people, can fire and hire those politicians who wield this power of force and coercion. And then also, in our form of government, our Constitution set forth checks and balances, and we actually make it very inefficient and difficult to get laws through Congress or the legislature. So that places a limit on how this power can be exercised. So my philosophy is government is important, but we want limited government. We don't want government to intrude too deeply into our lives and use this power of force and coercion improperly.
Are there misconceptions that you hear or run into regarding the foundational beliefs that you have?
Well, I think anything can be taken to extremes, and I think both sides, on both the liberal and conservative side, we have people who do that. And so we need to, I think there is safety in the center, and the center is really what has built this country and this state. If you look at the great leaders of Utah and the great things that have been accomplished here, they have been done by centrists, both on the Republican and Democratic side. And government does have an important role to play, can be a wonderful catalyst. And so I do think that the folks in the center have really been the people who have built this country and the state.
And I'm asking everyone to reach across the aisle, as it were. Tell us at least one foundational belief, perhaps you do not subscribe to, that you can understand, in any case, is powerful and valid.
Well, I think most of us have sympathy. Obviously, we have sympathy for the less fortunate and those who need more help. So I admire folks on the more liberal side who want to help the needy and the disabled and the unfortunate. I do think that they sometimes go too far to the detriment of society, and we would be better off focused. Well, I don't want to get into my side, but I do admire those people who want to use government for that purpose.
LeVar Webb, Deseret News columnist, publisher of UtahPolicy.com, and founder of the Exoro Group. Thanks so much.
Okay.
And we are continuing the conversation, of course, through this hour. We're asking you what your foundational political beliefs are, one or two powerful ideas that motivate you. Recommend any books or thinkers as well. And the number is 1-800-826-1495. Or you can go to email us at upraxis@gmail.com, upraxis@gmail.com. We're on Twitter as well. Just use the hashtag AxisUtah and Facebook. Still to come, we're going to be talking with Steve Erickson, leader of the Citizens Education Project. We'll be talking with Stephen Urquhart, a state senator, and Lyle Hilliard, another state senator as well. And yesterday, I talked with Howard Stevenson, state senator and president of Utah Taxpayers Association, and Frank Pignanelli, Deseret News columnist. And later today, you can find those conversations on our website, Utah or UPR, utahpublicradio.org. And we do have a tweet that I'll share with people. I'm going through a transition in political ideology. Much of my youth, I was very conservative, but I found myself hitting a wall, is what this tweet says. We'd love to hear your reaction to our questions and reaching across the aisle of talking about any books or thinkers that were influential for you and giving us your elevator pitch, your political philosophy. 1-800-826-1495, 1-800-826-1495, or upraxis@gmail.com. We have our next guest in, Lyle Hilliard. Now we're talking with State Senator Lyle Hilliard, who's also a partner in the firm Hilliard Anderson and Olson. Senator, welcome back to the program.
Always glad to come.
We're getting back to basics, and we're curious about one or two maybe core political beliefs that you have that motivate you in the political arena.
Well, I think two points are important to me. Number one, I think that the role of government is to help people in areas they really can't help themselves. And I take that, for example, police power, those kinds of areas. And I think the more we can just help people get to where they are rather than doing the work for them, the better off we are. And it's the old adage, it's better to teach a person how to fish than give them fish. So when I look at the role of government, I look at the role of government, education, police. These are areas that we can do, but we get a lot of economic development, a lot of tax breaks, a lot of those things. I have challenges with those because I think that's really beyond the role of government. We need to help people help themselves, but to that point, when they get to that point, they need to take over and assume their own responsibility. The second thing that really is important to me is that when we take money away from people in the form of taxation, I think we have almost a fiduciary, a special position of trust to make sure that money is spent wisely. And I know there's sometimes a temptation to forget the money we spend comes from people who have a hard time, many, paying it, and do so because they expect services back. And it becomes a very frustrating thing for me when I get into programs and see what I see to be waste, because I think of all of the important things we should be funding that we have to say no to because of limited funds. So those are really the two core beliefs in, as I serve and as I look at the role of government.
Are there any books, authors, thinkers that have been influential in your life in the political arena?
You know, I can't think of any particular. I read a tremendous amount, and I try not to limit myself to certain things. I read broadly across all sorts of spectrums, and many people send me books and articles, and quite often when I get invited to a convention or a meeting and I can't go, I ask them if there's anything printed to send it to me, let me read. That's really my hobby is reading, and I enjoy reading a lot. But I can't really pick any. I know I enjoy historical books. For example, John Adams, those kinds of books are really important to me. But as far as political thought, I like to have diverse views and balance them out and decide which I like and which I don't like. And oftentimes I find new ideas that help me in the role I have, especially as a state senator.
Are there misconceptions that you sometimes run into that people have the wrong idea about the political philosophy that you subscribe to?
Well, I think the most common problem I have are the people who don't make the connection between the fact that the only money I can spend, I have to take from someone. And so quite often people will say to me I shared a story. It happened to me once in a grocery store. I was in the grocery store, and a man came up to me, and we were visiting, and he said that he ran a business. And he said, "Senator, the taxes are just killing me. You've got to cut taxes." And I said to him, "Well, what about the vital services?" And he said, in effect, "That's your problem, Senator. My problem is I just can't pay more taxes." And later that same day, I had a woman come up to me, and she happened to be a school teacher, and we were talking about the needs there. And she said, "Oh, we've just got to have more money." And I said, "Well, how am I going to get that? I have to raise taxes to do that." And she said, again, almost identically, "That's your problem." And I think people need to understand there's a connection between paying taxes and getting service. You can't not cut taxes and not take a an equal cut or some cut in services, and you can't have more services without paying more money. And that's probably the biggest challenge I have as I visit with people. They want to look at one of these two spectrums, but not both of them.
And finally, Senator, we're asking everybody to sort of reach across the aisle. Tell us at least one foundational belief on another side, maybe that you'd not subscribe to, but you can understand it as powerful and valid.
I think that, again, I'm going to budgets because I spend so much of my time doing that. I'm really touched by the number of people who come to me with really legitimate needs and concerns. For example, in healthcare, mental health providing facilities, I see people whose families are just devastated because they have an issue of mental health, and they're so little insurance that really will help. There's so many new drugs coming out that are experimental that won't be covered by insurance. And I see a real struggle. And the question, you know, how can you help these people, again, with limited funds you have? And I can understand why they would expect the state to do more of that. And I think we all have some empathy, but the pressure I just have to put to them is we've got to get private people, private businesses, more people like that involved, and not relying on a government solving the problem, because we just don't have enough to cover all that, and any more private people can get involved. So I think that'd be the issue. I'm looked as kind of the person who says no because I have to balance the budget, but I am touched by some of what I think are really legitimate requests.
State Senator Lyle Hilliard, also a partner in the firm Hilliard Anderson & Olson, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Glad to help you, Tom.
On Access Utah Today, we're getting back to basics, taking a break from the usual partisan bickering. And by the way, a plug for more of that tonight at 7 o'clock, our presidential debate, the first one from NPR. We'll have that on Utah Public Radio, 7 o'clock tonight. But on the program today, we're kind of stepping back, getting back to basics. What are your core political beliefs? My hope is that we'll find that there is some common ground. And as a couple of our guests have said, the real work gets done by the middle. And so we're encouraging everyone to reach across the aisle today. And we'd love to have your comments via Twitter. Just use the hashtag AccessUtah, Facebook, or upraxcess@gmail.com is our email address, upraxcess@gmail.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-826-1495, 1-800-826-1495. We'll come back with Steve Erickson, leader of the Citizens Education Project, following this break.
At Utah Public Radio, we discuss current events, social issues, gardening tips, politics, talk with local authors, and many other important Utah-related subjects. On Access Utah, an original program produced by Utah Public Radio, I'm Addison Pace, production intern for Access Utah. Join us weekday mornings 9 to 10, Utah Public Radio, Utah's favorite public radio station, for providing your access to things that matter in Utah.
On this part of the program, we're talking with Steve Erickson, leader of the Citizens Education Project. Mr. Erickson, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And we're asking everybody, we'll ask you, we're sort of checking the partisan politics and the back and forth at the door. There's a lot of that as the election season comes to its conclusion. We're getting back to basics. And so we ask you, what are one or two of your core political beliefs, sort of foundational beliefs that really motivate you in the political arena, got you excited in the first place, perhaps?
Well, I think the government should try to provide for the common good, and that includes people on the low end of the income and opportunity scale. It's important that we recognize we're in this together. We need to pull together wherever possible, and that means that some will have to sacrifice, all do in one way or another, but we're in this together, so we ought to look out for one another.
Are there any thinkers, writers, books that, that maybe have influenced you could recommend to us?
Oh, many, I suppose. Lately, I've been rereading some Howard Zinn. I've studied lots of politics over the years, but look to do what's practical, I think, in the state of Utah, and that's to try to find that common ground where we can move ahead and not get caught up in ideological stances or posturing. We see far too much ideological rigidity exhibited in the state of Utah for my taste.
Are there misconceptions as you operate out there in the political arena and maybe you about your core political beliefs, some misconceptions that maybe you have trouble and you have to clarify with people?
Well, I think one that I see often is this notion that people are taking advantage of the system and are lazy and trying to scam by without doing their fair share of the lifting that needs to happen in society when all of us are attempting to work together. That sort of bleeding heart liberal type stuff that you sometimes get accused of. It's been at times worse. It's just centered into red baiting, but the truth of the matter is that people who are lesser means are struggling and want to do better need just that opportunity and a hand up at times.
Under operating under a belief that most political philosophies have some strong, valid ideas, we're asking everybody to sort of reach across the aisle, maybe select a core belief on an opposite side from your beliefs that you can maybe understand as powerful and valid, even though you may not subscribe to it yourself.
Well, I think one of the advantages of living in the state of Utah is that people have that notion of looking out for one another and helping out. I think that we also see a strong fiscal conservatism, and that's often a good thing. Excessive debt is not helpful for the society in general, for individual families or as well. So I think that conservatism has its place, in, particularly in managing budgets. I think sometimes, however, what we see in the political arena is too much of a sense that you run government the way you run your household budget, and that's not the way things work at the macro level. You need far more flexibility and ability to respond to a variety of circumstances quickly and to hidebound yourself with notions that we have to live strictly within a budget that mirrors that of our own household is a misconception that I would like to see a little bit more education around.
Well, we've reached the end of the time. Just a very quick look at core political beliefs with Steve Erickson, leader of the Citizens Education Project. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And we're going all around the political spectrum and asking people to tell us their core political beliefs, getting back to basics on the program today. The number is 1-800-826-1495. The email is upraxcess@gmail.com. Love to have your comment. Also recommend thinkers and books that have been influential for you in the political arena. And we bring in now State Senator Stephen Urquhart. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So I'll just jump in with this. I'd like you to tell me the one or two fundamental ideas or beliefs that motivate you in the political arena.
You know, I'm a fiscal conservative. That's the main thing that drives me is I think the government can do some things well. It can do a few things well, and it ends up trying to do many more things, and it tends to do those poorly and tends to hurt the economy when it does too many things. You know, I'm in the state legislature, so we do transportation well. I tend to think that we actually do education fairly well. Public ed, higher ed, I think that, you know, obviously prisons, things like that, just the basic core infrastructure issues, we do those well. But beyond that, the free market does a lot better than government does. And when we start taking money out of the free market, out of people's hands, out of businesses' hands, so that we can try to provide certain things, we're just going backwards at that point.
Are there any books or thinkers that have been influential for you?
Yeah, Basquiat has been significant. Modern writer George Will, I think, is fabulous.
And are there misconceptions that that you run into regarding your foundational beliefs?
Yeah, I think it would be a lot easier to be progressive, because then you could say, well, we love these people, we care for them, therefore government's going to provide. And conservatives run into the argument of, well, you're heartless, you don't like people. And, you know, I do like people, and I want people to do well. And I think that people do well when the economy does well. You know, a strong economy is better than most government programs. And I think that a strong economy requires government to actually do very little. And, you know,
let's see. You're breaking up a little bit there. Hopefully we'll hold on for a couple of minutes here.
Sorry. But so what I was saying is that conservatives get the rap of being heartless, that they don't care about people, and that's not the case. We think that people can do better with a strong economy, which depends on keeping its nose out of a lot of things.
Hmm. Finally, I'm asking everybody to reach across the aisle, as it were. Tell me at least one foundational belief or idea on an opposing side, or a belief you do not subscribe to, but you can understand it's powerful.
Oh, I believe in political dialogue. I believe that all viewpoints are valid. And so, you know, I'll reach across the aisle and say that I'm very happy we have Democrats, we have liberals, progressives. It makes for a robust dialogue. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think people do get the government that they want. And, you know, it really tends to work out well. I look at Utah, which I think is one of the best managed states in the nation, and there actually is a lot of contribution to the budget and to the policy from the Democrats, and I think it's just a great system.
Mm. State Senator Stephen Urquhart, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We're asking you what your foundational political beliefs are. We're getting out of the tit-for-tat. There's certainly a lot of that going on. We're trying to get back to basics on the program today. Now we turn specifically to you. We have several minutes left in the program. Love to hear from you, your one or two powerful political ideas that motivate you. Maybe the idea or two that got you into politics, interest in politics, and trying to make a difference. An author or book that has been influential for you. And we'll ask you as well if you would like to tell us an idea on the other side that's you do not subscribe to, but you can understand is powerful and valid. So we're turning to you right now at 1-800-826-1495. 1-800-826-1495. Or you can email us at upraxis@gmail.com, upraxis@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter. Use the hashtag AccessUtah and Facebook as well. The number is 1-800-826-1495, 1-800-826-1495. Your foundational political beliefs, or a book or author you could recommend for us as we get back to basics, or upraxis@gmail.com. We're going to take a brief break right now and come back with your phone calls at 1-800-826-1495. Pulse Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. And as we wind down the political season, the election season, we're asking you what your core political beliefs are, one or two ideas that have really got you excited and to get you into the political arena and to reach across the aisle as well. And right now, we're talking with Howard Stevenson. He's a Utah State Senator. And I believe, Senator, you're also on the radio. You have a radio program?
Yes, on Saturday mornings, Red Meat Radio,
yeah.
Setting the record straight.
Okay. Your title, I think, is President of Utah Taxpayers Association.
Yes.
So what we're asking people, ask you, what are your foundational core political beliefs, the ideas that animate you, motivate you, maybe got you into the political arena? Give us your very brief bullet points.
Well, the thing that I find foundational in my own political life is the idea of protecting individual rights, the ability of an individual to act and not be acted upon, the natural rights that were espoused by the founders of this country when they were willing to pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors in order to bring forth the independence of this country and the foundational principles of the idea that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And everything to me has to stem back to those basic principles of natural law.
Is there a particular, I don't know, thinker, author, figure that you go back to time and again that really informs your beliefs?
Well, Jefferson is one that really inspires me. Of course, he is the one that penned the Declaration of Independence. Of course, he was influenced by others before him. He was well-read. He understood principles There were others as well, Bastiat, who wrote the law, others who more recently have written about economics and One Lesson, for example.
Are there misconceptions as you operate with these core beliefs in the political arena? Are there misconceptions that people have about those beliefs?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest misconceptions I find is that people think that small socialism is better than big socialism. You know, a lot of people don't seem to have gotten the message that the Berlin Wall came down in November of 1989 and that grand experiment with socialism failed. And yet we find American politicians, and especially right here in Utah at the local level, saying, well, they just didn't have the right motivation. We can do it. And so we get government involved in the business of business, and they're failing. As hard as they might try, they fail, and they end up costing taxpayers a lot of money because of their attempts to implement socialism effectively.
I'm asking everybody as well, under the belief that an understanding, they're powerful and valid ideas in just about any political tradition. Maybe select a foundational belief, according to your understanding, from that you do not subscribe to, but that perhaps you can understand. You can understand there's power in it.
Well, I think Democrats sort of have tried to capture the corner on compassion and the notion that we need to look out for the least of these in our society. And I believe that, too. I believe it with all my heart that I have a moral obligation to look out for my brothers and sisters who are disadvantaged. But my obligation is not to get government to take care of them. And that's where I think Democrats and conservatives differ, is that they believe that we should all be compelled to care for each other, whereas I believe that we individually have a moral obligation. It was interesting that Adam Smith, he was most famous for his writing The Wealth of Nations,
which a lot of people have twisted to say that the selfishness of the of humanity will create a tide that will lift all boats. To him, his greater work was the theory of moral sentiments, which was a writing about morality and our moral obligation to look out for our brothers and sisters in society, and that God expects that of us, but still we should have a free market to enable the self-interest of people to create that tide that lifts all boats.
Well, we're out of time. Howard Stevenson is our guest right now, and we're taking a break from the back and forth of politics, talking about foundational, core political beliefs. Howard Stevenson, a state senator, also president of Utah Taxpayers Association. More information about him and from him at howardstevenson.com. Senator, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And so I'm asking now Frank Pignanelli, a columnist with the Deseret News and former member of the legislature. Maybe you could give me your bullet points, just your elevator pitch of what the foundational political beliefs excite you and motivate you in the political arena.
Well, I would, if you don't mind, I'm going to go back because my interest in politics has a very unusual foundation, unlike most Utahns. Now, my father was born and raised here. My grandfather immigrated from Italy, and I was born and raised here. But my foundational elements of politics began because I was also taught and raised by nuns, Irish nuns, and Irish Catholic nuns, and I spent my formative years there. And these nuns, they were very much dedicated to economic justice. I remember going to taking our lunch to school, and we were checked to make sure that we didn't buy any California grapes that when the boycott was happening from Cesar Chavez and the migrant workers. And the nuns knew how to use both the ruler and guilt trips to make sure that you were dedicating part of your allowance for the Biafran school children. And these good women were using corporal punishment, which I always thought was interesting, to instill a sense of economic justice upon us. And so I was raised with, by golly, you are going to, you know, focus part of your life to ensure that people have the, you know, opportunities and to rise out of poverty. And my parents were the same way. Now, you know, I came from a middle-class background. My parents were also believed in economic justice and that type of thing. And also, of course, the civil rights movement. My father, you know, a devout Catholic, always taught me that one of the things that he liked about the LDS Church was a belief in modern-day revelation. And he said, in his mind, that Martin Luther King was a modern-day prophet. So I was raised with this type of belief structure that carried through. Now, granted, in my early years at the college, I was very left of center in pursuing economic justice goals. I've moderated in some sense, but I'm still dedicated that it may not be through government programs, it may be through other aspects, but making sure that people have a good paying job, making sure that you may not be able to level the playing field, but you want to create opportunities that they at least get on the field. And I believe there's great programs that have been articulated and enunciated by both Democrats and Republicans for that.
And are there misconceptions about that particular political belief, economic justice?
Well, when you hear it, a lot of people roll their eyes and say, you know, that's some socialist program. And I can understand when people say that. But what it is, if you listen to even the conservatives, if you listen to a Paul Ryan, if you listen to even like a Ronald Reagan, or if you listen to some of the others, it's the same thing, providing an opportunity for someone to work. Now, government may not always be the best way to approach it, and it may be indeed through the private sector. I'm the first to say that, having, you know, learned different things. But that's the best way to approach, in my opinion, a good, productive society and trying to eliminate poverty, is the opportunity for someone to work in a good job and have the benefits that are necessary for the family.
Another thing we're doing today is having people look across the fence, as it were, operating under the belief that there are powerful and valid ideas in each political tradition. Is there a, you know, political idea, foundational belief that you do not subscribe to, but you nonetheless consider to be a strong idea?
A number of Republicans talk about how government is the problem. And I understand what they're saying, that government can be an impediment to progress, you know, and that the government's bad. I would say government it's more neutral. Government can be both good and bad. And I've come to the realization government's important to make sure that when we have our ups and downs in the capitalist marketplace, that they're there to make sure that we provide the job training, the safety net, unemployment. But just to say, I understand what they're saying. I get frustrated with government too, but all government's not bad. Government's just a factor. It has to be restrained, but it has to be restrained because it's like anything else, like a big corporation, a big monopoly, or anything else. It has to be restrained so it doesn't dominate. In itself, it's not bad. It's just something that has to be restrained, make sure it doesn't impede upon people's rights and abilities. So I would disagree that it's bad. I would just say it's just another factor in the big picture of how we accomplish what we need to as a society.
Finally, thinkers, any books, any codified philosophies out there that have influenced you that you'd like to tout?
Well, in the deep past, The Other America by Harrington, which talked about poverty, was a book that I read as a boy. That had a significant impact upon me, and of course had impact upon millions of Americans. In fact, it drove the Great Society and LBJ. But over the years, a lot of the works by Thomas Friedman has really impacted me, how to deal with the global Americans, and you know, Fareed Zakaria too has also impacted me, because I really believe that the more that we provide our technology, the more that we help other countries, it's the rising tides lift all boats, and that helps us also to be more competitive. So I have a very globalistic view of the world, which sometimes is runs afoul of what a lot of the democratic special interest groups do. But mine's very much, I've come to the realization, based upon globalization, that you have to have free markets, free transfer of labor, which means I'm very, very pro-immigration, but also the ability to operate in this global surrounding. Because that way, that is the best way to make sure that we lift people out of poverty and provide opportunities.
Reading back to basics with some foundational political beliefs, and we've been talking with Frank Pignanelli, a columnist with the Deseret News, a former legislator. And we conclude the program today, getting back to basics with our political beliefs, with Cynthia in Logan. Cynthia, thanks for calling.
Yes. I didn't call with the idea of talking on radio, but I really believe in what you're doing. And so I wanted to let you know that this program, for me, represents an example of what I feel is the deepest political belief I have. The necessity of dialogue, that people of different beliefs and all share their important perspectives, and it's taking them all into account that brings about the best decisions that we can have, that listening, considering new and even old ideas with new perspectives is the best way for us to make the best government, the best policies for the political environment that we most want. It is this listening, considering. Our people know. We need to trust people to hear this information and these perspectives and make the best decision.
Thank you.
I appreciate this program.
Oh, thank you, Cynthia. Appreciate that. Couldn't have said it better. A perfect way to end the program. Cynthia in Logan. And you can continue this dialogue if you would like. Just go to our website, upr.org, and you can further comment on what we've been talking about today. Thanks for listening to Access Utah today.
Access Utah is a production of Utah Public Radio. You can listen to this episode or previous episodes of Access Utah anytime at upr.org, where you can find a link to subscribe to our podcast. This is Utah Public Radio, KUSR HD1, 89.5 Logan, KUSK HD1, 88.5 Vernal, KUSL HD1, 89.3 Richfield, KUST HD1, 88.7 Moab, and KUSU FM HD1, 91.5 Logan.